Om Shanti, good morning. The blessing of 16th of January 2019. May you receive powerful fruit with the addition of everyone's good wishes in service and become an embodiment of success. May you receive powerful fruit with the addition of everyone's good wishes in service and become an embodiment of success. Whatever service you do, let it be filled with the feeling of cooperation from all souls, with the feeling of happiness and good wishes, and all tasks will easily be successful. In the early days, when anyone used to go to carry out a special task, he would go with blessings of everyone in the family. So this addition is needed in the present service. Before beginning any task, take everyone's good wishes and pure feelings. Fill yourself with the power of everyone's contentment, and powerful fruit will then emerge. So today Baba is saying that yes, you will get the meva of the seva, which means the fruit of the seva. So in other words, you'll get the return for the good deeds, the positive good deeds you're doing. But Baba's saying, if you take their good wishes and blessings, then that's like an addition to your stock. And this is what makes us the embodiment of success, when it's not just one-to-one, like one good action and then one return, but taking the addition of blessings from everyone. So let us address this thing first, that if service is done in isolation, then really, honestly speaking, that cannot be seva, that cannot be service. There are some who say that, you know, we can do it all on our own, but think about it, what is the whole point of seva? Seva means to be inclusive of the whole, to think of the whole and not just the part, or not just my selfish part. Seva means to be a well-wisher for all and to serve all, and not just to serve who I want to serve. And what does service mean? Service means to give happiness. And so I cannot be picky and choosy about who it is I want to give happiness to. So if I'm having some problems with some people on one side, and on the other side I say, no, I'm doing seva, I'm not sure how much seva is actually taking place. And this is why Baba says that it's not seva, it's actually ego, it's self-deception. I'm only fooling myself. I want to believe it's seva because I'm taking time out, I have good intention, I want to do good deeds. But in reality, I need to first harmonize with others. I need to cooperate with others. And that is actually going to be the real seva. So service really has to be done in unity, otherwise the whole objective of seva is lost. Actually, there's a saying, isn't it, that those who stay together, those who eat together stay together. Which is why if we can't work together, then something is wrong. So cooperation is really important, and Baba says that if the seva is pure, then you should not even be remembered after the seva. Nobody should say, for example, that, oh, it was this one's conference, or this one's retreat, or, oh, this one built the building. Because my name should not be at the front. If it's Baba's seva, then where is Baba? Baba should be at the front. It should be the effort of the collective family. And so we need to put Baba in front and not at the back. So this brings us to the question that can we make everyone content? And the answer is, of course, no. Which is why in previous Muralis Baba has said that he gives us a margin of 5%. Other than that, he says we need to ensure that 95% of the people are happy with me. If more than 5% are unhappy with me, then I need to check what is in me that I'm creating these dynamics. And ultimately, it's not It's not that we want people to like us. It's not about that, I think. I think it's more about that these situations, these relationships are reflecting back to me what I am doing and where I need to change. So if somebody's not cooperating with me, then I need to ask myself, why not? Because good energy, love, cooperation means that I'm emitting that energy too. And if it's not so good energy, then what am I doing, you know, to make this happen or to create this scenario? And it may not even be something in the present moment, but something in the past. You know, something that's been done in the past in this birth or some past birth karma. So again, we need to look at that and check and change. And sometimes we say, oh, it's not me, it's them. But there must be some part of me that's also triggering that situation. Otherwise, why has that situation come to me, in front of me? In fact, people behave towards us the way we present ourselves to them. So if we are rude and bossy and unkind, then obviously nobody wants to be around to help us. And if we are humble and loving and tireless, then of course people are touched and they feel the compassion and they want to help. You try spending, you know, 1 hour with a negative person and you will say, okay, you know what, goodbye. But you try spending a whole day with a positive person and you'll feel like, you know, you want more. So these dynamics in our relationship are a reflection of my inner stage. These scenes really reflect back to us what it is we need to change in ourselves. They're like a barometer for our change, of our change. So today Bab is giving us a yukti as to how we can do this, which is by taking everyone's blessings. And it's so important to take blessings. Blessings oil the wheels of my life, so my life flows smoother and easier. Otherwise it feels like a, you know, one of those dusty, old, rusty carts, you know, with rusty wheels. And it feels like a lot of effort, like I'm pushing my life too much. And there's always this expression that if you give, then you get. First give and then you shall receive. It's never said take and then give. So first we have to give the love and respect and the blessings. And then they too will boomerang back to us. So what is a blessing? What is a blessing? Let's dissect the blessing word. So blessing is a good thought. It's good energy, it comes from the heart, it's well intended, it empowers, it encourages, it motivates, it comes freely, right? We don't have to ask anyone for a blessing. We shouldn't need to ask anyone for a blessing. The fact that it's a blessing, right, implies that it has come from the heart. And neither the giver nor the receiver has any expectations attached to the blessing. There's no price tag for the blessing. It's not a barter system where I give you and you give me this back. No. And if I have begged for it, then that does become like a bargain or a barter. It's not a deal. It's not that I bless you and you bless me. That's not the blessing. That's more, you know, like a commercial energy. Material energy. So we have to actually earn our blessings with our good deeds. So when Dadi Janki gets on stage, we all go running to her class. But is it the effort that she's making on the stage, or is it the effort that she's made off the stage? Obviously, it's the effort she's made off the stage. So she has spent so much time listening to people and touch their lives in private, one by one, and earned their blessing. She has won their hearts. It's not the showy, glowy lectures that win the hearts, but these personal touches. As we always say to Jentiben, it's not the big things that she does that touches the heart, but it's the small ones. And there's also a nice example I remember of Dadi Kumarka. I forget who she was traveling with in the train, but I think it was Chandruben of San Francisco. And what happened is they were traveling in the train, and whoever made the tickets, they forgot to make two sleeping bunkers. And so there was only one sleeping bunker, like one bed in the train. And so Dadi Kumarka insisted that Chandruben sleep, and Dadi sat up all night. Of course, Chandruben tried to convince Dadi that she should rest. But from what I understand, Dadi didn't, and Chandruben laid down. So Dadi could have, you know, not done that. She had every right to sleep. She was older and senior and all of that. But in that moment, her humility won over. And so it's these small touches that win us respect. We don't have to do it, and no one's asking us to do it. But these small acts make us great. And that's what, you know, wins us the good wishes. So blessings are all about energy, right? It's everything. Everything in the world is about energy, in fact. And that's why some people say it's good luck, bad luck, or the intention was not good, or the motive was not good. But isn't this all self-created? Isn't this something that we create inside of ourselves? It's not something that's happening to us from outside in. And also, once we get the blessings, then I have to actually trigger them. I have to stimulate them. I have to apply them. Yesterday I was sharing my personal blessings from Baba with a few of the Arab sisters here, new Arab sisters. And so one of them said, "Oh, you are so lucky." And yes, there were many lucky ones who too received personal blessings, you know, just sitting like 2 feet away from Baba. But one has to continue using them. Only then do they work for us. It's like having a tool set in the attic or the basement, but if you don't know that it's there, then you're not going to use it. And even if you know it's there but you're not using it, it's just going to get, you know, rusty. So once you know it's there and you start using it, it's helpful, makes your life easier for it. So that is why we need to remember, you know, reconnect with our blessings. And okay, even if you don't have personal blessings, I would suggest that you take a blessing from the Murli and really make it work for you. And you can. There's many stories of this as well. And the one story I'd like to relate is a story that my mother used to tell me when I was young. And maybe it's a bit of a silly story, but I think it'll make the point. So there was a boy and his parents. And what happened is the parents had to go, and normally the mother would cook the food and offer it to God, and then they would eat. So today they had to rush, so she said to the boy, Why don't you just offer the food, and then once God has eaten, then you can eat. So he said, okay. And he literally, you know, held on to his mother's words, when God has eaten. So he put the plate in front of the temple, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, he's getting hungry, and he's thinking, why hasn't God come and eaten this food? And then he keeps looking in the tin under the cloth. Why hasn't God come? Why isn't the food finished yet? And so God then is touched by this boy's love and bhavna. And God literally comes and accepts the food. And then when the boy finally looks once more, the food is gone and he goes to have his meal. And so when the parents come back, they ask him how everything was, and he said, yeah, everything was great, and God had his food, and I had my food, and they asked, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, God came and ate, and of course they were very surprised. So this is the point that, you know, we may be told something, but if we really put a lot of love and bhavna into it, then I think we can make it work for us. There was also a Greek sister who was meeting Baba once, and Baba told her that this was her personal blessing from Baba, and Baba told her that you are the one who will come down with Brahma Baba. And I never forget that because I loved it so much. And funnily enough, she's not here today, but I took that blessing for myself. And I said, yes, I would love to come down with Brahma Baba. So it's really a question of activating them, stimulating them, and making them come alive for you. And I think anyone can do that. So when Baba says that in the past we would take the blessings of older ones, he's actually referring to the Laukik people, you know, the Laukik people, and especially in the earlier days. Now they don't do it so much because everybody's become so modern. But if one was traveling, moving especially, but even if they were traveling for a few weeks, starting college or first day of work, you even see this at Indian weddings when the newly married couple bow down to the parents and the elders and they take blessings from them. So that's the idea, that you just take their good wishes, approval in a way. But it's not approval. I mean, if it's really coming from the heart, I mean, the approval was there anyway. But just that extra, you know, bonus of love and good wishes. But sometimes, of course, the ego does not allow us to take that bow. And in that moment, I can think to myself, am I a slave or a master? So when you serve tea to someone, do you do it as a master of the house, or do you do it as the slave of the house? It's all in our consciousness, isn't it? So Brahma Baba really sat and cracked his ego, and there was no trace of body consciousness. When seniors would hold his hand, they would say that it felt like cotton wool. And so such was his intense tapasya, you know, nothing gross. No smell of body consciousness, just simply the fragrance of spirituality. And blessings naturally emerge for those who are virtuous. We always bless somebody from the heart. So we would say, oh, this one is an angel, or you're like a deity. So that's the key, to just continue becoming full of virtues, and then the love and cooperation will come our way. This can also be applied to Baba. We don't need to ask him for blessings. He himself says, make yourself worthy and Baba will seat you on his head, on his shoulders, in his eyes, in his heart. So in this way, we can all do with more blessings. So let us sit now for a few moments of meditation. In today's meditation, I would like us to create an orb of light and to become really subtle and avyakt. So to begin with, I'd like us all to imagine that we are already in the subtle regions. So here we are in this region of pure white light, and each one of us has a body of light, and we can see each other, but the language is of silence. So even if souls are living far away from you, but this is where we meet, in the subtle region. And so I can feel very light, both as in light weight and the sparkle of light. And there in the distance is Brahma Baba. And Brahma Baba has his hand up in the form of a blessing. And I can visualize these rays of light coming out of his hand and showering me. It's a simple act, but in this act I do feel that Baba is making every attempt to will over his powers to me. I can feel myself becoming more and more light. The light is becoming purer and whiter and brighter, like the voltage of the light is increasing. And this light is increasing so much that it is spreading far and wide. My whole aura is reaching out into the universe until it starts to touch Mother Earth. So I continue looking at Bab Dada. The light is spreading around me and it's touching everything on earth. It's blessing everything on earth. At the same time, I'm feeling cool and calm, and I'm feeling my hard, rough edges begin to melt in front of this light of Baba. It's a laser light, but yet it's a very cooling light. But I can feel that bit by bit, the soul is melting. Just like the fire melts the gold. And all the alloy is removed. I stay here for a few more moments just to fill up a little more. And when each one is ready, then just take yourself down back to Mother Earth. Back to your space and back to the center of the forehead, the seat of the soul. Om Shanti.